want to just read this to you today, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. It's been ringing in my spirit here, and I just want to define a little bit of what I believe is happening with our church and what's going on and where your part is in that. I want to talk to you this morning about the great house, a great house. I believe that is what Elevate Life Church is called to be, not just a house of God, but a great house of God. And in order to build a great house, anybody that's been in construction or been around builders needs to know that you have to follow the blueprint. Come on, somebody. You got to follow the plan that is laid out. And the Bible is our plan for that. Look at Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. It says this, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers." That talks about the fivefold ministry, the pulpit ministry gifts. But here's what I want you to catch today. What are they for? They're for the equipping of the saints, which is you guys. That's what our job is, to get you guys ready, to be pumping up you guys, to be coaching you guys, to activate you guys. Here it is right here, for the work of the ministry. Right now in a lot of churches, and the way it's been historically, is y'all, is not here, but most people pay a pastor to do the ministry. And the pastor kills himself trying to meet all the needs in the body, all the needs in the community. If they're meeting any needs in the community at all, it falls on the pastor and his staff. And that is not the blueprint for a great house. Now, you could build a house like that, and many churches have existed like that, but it'll never be a great house, because that goes against the blueprint. You don't come to church to support my ministry. You're not here to support the staff's ministry and just pay them to do all the stuff in the house and all the stuff in the church and make sure everything gets done. That's not the blueprint that God lays out. God lays out fivefold ministry gifts, and that are these things: the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, myself. Last week we got to hear from a prophet. Matt Gonzalez came to activate you in ministry, to get you going in ministry, to get you stirred up, you serving for what? So that you can have your own ministry, so that you can begin to do the works of Jesus Christ. But then it says this, so it says for the fivefold ministry, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And here's the second part, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's the second part. Did you know every Sunday it takes 35 to 40 people to get here, set up, serve, nursery, children's ministry, ushers, greeters, back table, sound team, media team, praise and worship team. 35 to 40 people have to be here every Sunday, and you guys, much of you are a part of that. We try to make it so that if everybody does their part, some ministries you only have to do once a month. Others, we haven't got to that place yet. But what is that about? That is about what Jesus said is your responsibility as a believer. That number one, you have a ministry outside of this house, reaching your community, reaching people, but then inside of the house. And this is the blueprint that God has given us in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And guys, we're living this blueprint. 7 years into the vision, we're just getting started, but we're beginning to see this thing unfold to a whole nother level. Look at Acts chapter 2, 16 to 17. I began to hear this as I drove into the parking lot yesterday. I just wanted to check in, you know, and see the tournament going on, and I just got sucked in. I couldn't leave. I was only supposed to come from watch the first game, watch Mondo coach our neighborhood team, the Redmen, and I just thought I'll come in and check, and I couldn't leave because I was just so moved seeing not just the kids that are impacted there, but the workers, the volunteers, the people that are out there giving of their time, not just to serve these kids in this community, but to serve God. And I kept hearing this in my spirit from Acts chapter 2, 16. It says this, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." I want you to tell your neighbor right now, "This is that." Now, you could get with this. No, okay, no. "But this is that This is that, y'all. This is that that was spoken by the prophet Joel. Look at verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, does it say, it doesn't say I will pour out my spirit on the apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, on the ministers that are in the church, and they will do great. No, no, no. It says all flesh. Now, tell the other neighbor you just ignored, all flesh. Don't want them to feel left out. Come on. All flesh. It says, it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. We're doing this together. It's the old, it's the young. Come on, amen. It's the sons and daughters, it's the moms and dads. This missions trip, we have three families going all together. I'm taking my family. The Gutierrez's are taking most of their family, except, you know, we have, she's got to take care of Izzy there, you know, and give it up for her. She's taking one for the team. You just might have the greatest reward, seriously, seriously. And we have, you know, the Cardenas's. He's taking his daughter on her first trip and his first trip. Our youngest on this team is 9 years old, and our oldest is 60-something. I'm just going to leave it at that. Don't want to call nobody out. This is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. This is that the saints are being equipped for the ministry, and they're going out and they're making spaghetti for the community. They're going out and they're picking up trash for the community. They're going out and they're coaching young men and bringing them to church and loving on them and just telling them, hey, you can make it. Stay out of gang violence. Stay out of that mess. This is that. Are you catching this today? Acts chapter 2, this is what we're doing. It's been an amazing year. Our Easter outreach we did a few months ago, we had 115 volunteers from this church go out that day and serve this community. And I've told you before, our church right now in the books is 250 members. It's hard to get us all together at one Sunday, but our Sunday average attendance is about 190, 200 with kids and everything. We count everything. You bring your dog, we're counting that on this Sunday. You know, I mean, that's where we're at. So we saw over half of our church, one in two people that call this their home, out there serving the community. That's amazing. That's an amazing thing. When you consider the national statistics of a church, remember, not a great house, but a house, is that 10% or 20% of the people do 100% of the work. That's the average statistic. Not here. Because we're trying to follow the blueprint. And you guys are making this happen. Our summer basketball outreach, like I said earlier, 55 volunteers served 8 weeks, an average of 4 hours a night to get out here in this community and show the love of Jesus Christ. This is that. This is an incredible thing, okay? That means basically 1 in 4 people in this church, a little under that or so, was out here doing something on Monday nights to share the love of Jesus. But that, you know, it blows me even away further than that. As I say, we're about 250 deep. 35 people were taken to the Dominican Republic. But that's not all. Right now, we have another trip planned for October, and we've got close to 30 people signed up to go to the Philippines. And only 4 of those people are going to both, or 3 of those people are going to both. So do you know what that means? That's almost 50 people from this house that we're taking into other nations to live out the call of God to reach other people. Give Jesus Christ a hand clap for that. That's God. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. This is, I believe, we're in the beginning stages of a great house, because a great house really is measured by its fruit and by people taking a step and saying, I want to do what Jesus said. I want to do what Jesus said. And getting rid of all the excuses and just taking a step out. As I said earlier, you know, this team that's going, none of them here are super Christian. Amen. Come on, let's just tell the truth. None of them here glow in the dark if we turned out the lights because the anointing's so strong on them. You know what it is? It's average, everyday people that say yes to the call of God and yes to Jesus, and they use their gifts to serve others. And we can all do that. We can all do that. It's an amazing thing. This is that. I mean, that's just what's happening in the house. And, you know, as I was preparing, I was praying about this, God began to show me all the other incredible people that we have in our church that are taking the vision and putting it out in their jobs and serving the community in other ways. Did you know we have close to 30 different people in this church that serve in community service type jobs like social work or work with programs? Many of you know Pastor Cheeto leaves here every Sunday to go be the chaplain at Mule Creek State Prison there. And he leads chaplain services there during the week. And he's out there loving God and lifting people behind bars. Many of you don't know this, but Eddie Escobar is programs director out there at the prison, and he's in charge of bringing in programs to lift lives in the prison system. But just recently, he was sworn in to be a part of the commission, a commissioning board here in Sacramento. The name escapes me, but basically, he's in charge of helping to police the police. So when something comes up, they sit by, they go in front of a board, they share with the board, hey, what do we think about this case? He's on that board from this church, from this house. I know you just walk past him and you look at him, hey, what's up? Whatever, Eddie. That's fine. That's not why he's in it. But you know what? He is somebody that God has placed there to lift people. With all that's going on in the news with police, isn't it amazing that there's a man of God that when those things happen, he sits on the board and brings wisdom? It's amazing. I can go on and on. You know how many teachers we got in this house right now? I mean, I when I was just kind of thinking about it, I think we have about 7 teachers that teach in pre-K all the way up to the high school level. We've got some coaches, Coach Silva. We've got Brenda Lowe, who teaches dance over at Valley High School. These are influencers. These are people that are working in areas where they're touching and influencing lives. You know, we've got Jack and Sarah, who work in social services and are caseworkers for people that are needing help with their lives. Jesse does the same. Esmeralda works for another program that's helping families. And I can go on and on and on, all those types of things. And there's probably some of you here I don't even know the things you do. Some of you like Mondo Labrado, who just goes out every Saturday, the goodness of his heart, and goes and serves the homeless people because that's what he wants to do. I mean, there's amazing things happening in the house. This year, as we're preparing to go back for the Philippines, we have 2 young men that are joining us that are coming. They both work in schools that teach basketball to youth, and they've agreed to come with us to the Philippines to help us spread the gospel, compete, and bring back the championship. Oh, excuse me. Did I say that? I mean, I didn't. That slipped out. They're going to go and help us to really touch lives over there. This is that. Are you tracking with me today? You know, last year we took one of the young people in the community here with us, and it changed his life as we took him to the Philippines, Stephen Torres. And I talked to him this week and said, are you going to come back with us? He said, I can't because of what God's been doing in my life. I'm going off to Job Corps in Utah, and he's getting his life going to another level. I said, why Utah? He said, man, I got to get out of my surroundings. I want God to do something new in my life. I said, South Sac to Utah, oh, you're going to find it all right. You're going to be a different surrounding all right. And so we're blessing him to go. And this year we've just been praying and seeking the Lord and watching the players in the league because we want to give another opportunity to somebody from this neighborhood. And this year we're believing God, and I need you to be believing with me, that we're going to be able to get some sponsors to help our man Wayne go. Wayne, stand up back there. Wayne's one of these great kids in this community that many times, because they're in this community, get a bad rap, want to get judged because of things that they've had to do and the circumstances they've grown up in. But this house believes in you and all the fellas in the league there, man. Man, one day when we're 3,000 people, we might be able to take a whole team of these fellas over there and just see God move in their life. Are you tracking with me? I'm not just blowing smoke. I'm telling you, our God's big enough to do those types of things if we belong and we build a great house. Are you tracking with me today? So there's all these different things that are taking place in the house. Like I said, there's 35 to 40 people that get here every Sunday to serve you. I know you just roll out of bed and you just come on in here and you sit in here and you're just, but you know what? 35, 40 people are here to make sure your experience is a good experience, that the chairs are set up right. Come on, somebody. That these black curtains are here so you ain't got to look at these tables on the side. That when your baby goes into the nursery, you know, that it's a good environment. That there's people in there rocking your kids right now, rocking the babies and making sure they're sleeping good. Or there are other people in there playing with your kids so that your kids want to come to church. People are serving. People are giving. That's a great house. And as I share all that kind of stuff, it's only right if you ask yourself, am I a part of that? Where's my place in that? Because here's the thing, you have a place. And when you find that place, this Christian thing that some of you are struggling so hard to walk out, come on, you know your walk is crooked. Come on, somebody. How many know we got a Christian walk? Some of us got a Christian limp. And it ain't a Mac Daddy limp either. It's just you hurting, the legs all twinkle and everything. You came in like this. This is your Christian walk. A lot of times what that is because you have not found the purpose for your salvation. Most Christians don't know why they're saved. They literally still think in 2017, the reason you're saved is just to go to heaven one day. There are believers that, I saw a thing out on, I was driving home on 99 yesterday in a big diesel truck. Said, "You, some of y'all saw that? Jesus is Lord. Heaven or hell, your choice." I said, man, it's so much more than that, brother. I'm not trying. Hey, good. That's good on you. Spread the gospel through your diesel truck and everything. That's all good. But you need some more revelation. Because it ain't just about going to heaven or hell. It's about what Jesus prayed and what we all learned in the Catholic Church when some of us were little. Come on. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come on, throw up the cross right now. Just for old time's sake, y'all. Just for old time's sake. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. It's not just about praying a prayer so you have fire insurance, so that you don't burn in hell one day. This is my insurance. I'm saved, but I do nothing with it. I don't live right. I just go to church. No. See, when you find your place, your walk will straighten out. The Bible says this, without a vision, people cast off restraint. Do you know what that is? We may never get you out of the bar until you find your purpose. I could sit there and talk to you till I'm blue in the face. Hey, you know, it's not good. You're out there drinking on Friday nights. You got kids. So, I ain't doing nothing wrong. It ain't in the Bible that I can't. See, we may never come straight on that. But when you understand your Facebook posts affect the people in your world and you're trying to win people, see, that corrects that. See, when these coaches understand now that they've invested in these kids, they can't just go on Facebook now, F this, blank that, I hate my job, I hate my boss. Son, you got somebody watching you now. They're counting on you. You know what those kids out there are believing for? They're hoping y'all are real. Because they seen fools already get up there, preach Jesus, and the next thing you know, they ain't even serving God. They've seen enough of that. You know what? They're coming out there with their fingers crossed. I hope these people are real. And so when you start finding your place, when you start really understanding why you're saved, what begins to happen is that you straighten up. There's a reason for you now to live right, to bear fruit. But see, that old way of thinking, when you think it's just about heaven or hell, you know what that begins? That begins to just be weak Christianity, where the Bible describes it as this. You have the form of godliness, but no power. In today's vernacular is this. Your Facebook life is awesome, but your real life sucks. That's today's vernacular. The Bible was written today. That's what it would say. Your Instagram life is off the charts, but your real life sucks. Because you can smile in a picture on Instagram, but you and your wife hate each other. But you got that picture on there like, hey, we're having dinner. But you put that camera away, and then you guys go back to just being on your phone. That's what the Bible was saying. Some people got the form of godliness, but no power. We've got to move beyond that. And you know what produces that? A great house. A great house. But you know what makes a great house? It's not the pastors. It's the people. It's the saints. It's the saints that will lay down their life for other people. And we see that every week. We see that. I see that through y'all. I see that through our worship team who gets here at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock on their day off to get up here and set up and put everything together and lead you into worship. Man, God loves that. You have to find your place in a great house. But understand this. When you're serving in your ministry and the things, when you find your place, it's twofold. The life that Jesus has given you, it's twofold. The ministry that he's given you is twofold. It's this. You got to be reaching outward, and then you got to be serving inward. And what do I mean by that? It means this. When God looks at our life, he wants to see what we're doing to touch the community that we're in and then to serve our brothers and sisters in the house. That's what he's looking for. See, the old thinking thinks God is just happy because you don't smoke, you don't chew, and you don't sleep with girls that do. That's that old thing. Any old Pentecostal people, you heard those jokes and stuff. They thought that was the goal. They thought that's what God is up in heaven, just so excited. Oh, my people, they are so holy. That's not what excites God. You know what excites God? That basketball tournament Saturday. You know, it excites God, these folks paying money to go on a missions trip to touch lives. Those things touch the heart of God when they sacrifice. Let me read you another scripture here from 2 Timothy 2, 20-24. You can read it on the screen there. This is what I'm talking about this morning. He writes this, "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay." Somebody say, thank God for that wood and clay statement. Because I know, I can't sit here and tell you I'm a gold or silver vessel. But I can get down with maybe wood or some clay. Come on. Because I've been through some stuff just like you. I took my hits just like you. I've done some dumb things just like you. I've made some mistakes. I've seen my days of mistakes just like you. But thank God. There's a place. But it says gold and silver. And see, when we see that in our mind, we think of certain things. We think, oh, the gold and silver ones, those are the super Christians. The hermanas. The hermanos. I don't think so. I think God's definition of what the gold and silver vessels are is different than ours. It's not necessarily the people that sit on the front row. And we've got some great people on the front row. Don't be offended. But I think sometimes the gold and silver ones are the guys that show up to pick up trash on a Saturday afternoon in 105 degree heat so that we can have a good reputation in our community. I think some of the gold and silver vessels showed up here the other night and cooked spaghetti, served salad, come on, played basketball with each other. Y'all should have saw the team mom game. I thought I was going to have to break up a fight out there. I'm not going to point any names, but it's getting pretty wild. But no, but you know what? Those are, to me, and I think God, in God's eyes, that's a gold and silver vessel. He's got a different way of judging these things. But look what it says. Even if you're not a gold and silver vessel, you could be a wood one. You could be a clay one. Some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, which means set apart, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And listen to this part. So flee youthful lusts. but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, arguments, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient. This is what we're trying to be. This is what we're trying to build, a great house. And no matter if you see yourself as a gold vessel, a silver vessel, a wood vessel, a clay vessel, there is a place for you, and God wants to use you. Amen. But understand this. He says there, he's going to separate you. He's going to set you apart. He's got to prepare you. He's got to get you ready. You know, we have a lot of people going on these trips, and I say this every week, but you know what? It makes no sense to go on a missions trip when you ain't building this house. I'm so proud of this team that's going. They're builders. They've laid down their lives for this house. It makes no sense to go on a mission and you don't tithe. You don't give offerings. But you want to go to the Philippines? You want to go to the Dominican? You want to go and do stuff in somebody else's house that you don't do in your own house? Come on. Come on. You know what you got to do? Get in order. Somebody here said, oh, I got to go get my name off that list. No, 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 no. What you got to do is start here. You got to begin. Well, some of you might need to get your name off that. I don't know. I felt the Holy Spirit come back with me. No, no, no. Some people ain't supposed to go. I mean, that's just the way it is. Because you have to have order. You got to get things straight. Let me prove it to you in the scriptures here. Go down to Ephesians. Now let's go down. Let me take you now. 1 Timothy 5:8. 1 Timothy 5:8 says it like this. It says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he's denied the faith. Listen to this. He's worse than an unbeliever. Now, the context of what Timothy is writing about here is there were a lot of deadbeat dads in his day. Come on, look at your neighbors. I ain't nothing changed. There was a lot of deadbeat dads in Timothy's days, too, that they were having kids. They weren't working. They weren't bringing in provision for their families. And so Timothy's writing a rebuke, and you read the whole chapter there. It's all in there. But in this part, he says this, but if anybody doesn't provide for his own, you're worse than somebody that doesn't know Jesus. And guess what he's doing? He's talking to believers. He's talking to us. He's saying this. He's saying, listen, you got to get your priorities in line. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, but you ain't taking care of your family, you ain't taking care of your kids, you ain't taking care of business, you're worse than an unbeliever, and you need to get that straightened up. But check this out. There's a second fold. There's a spiritual aspect to what he's talking about, too. If this is a house, and the Bible says we are of the household of faith, it applies to us as a church family. But if anyone does not provide for his own house, and especially of those of his household, are you tracking with me today? We're worse than cats out there in the street. You know what that means? Our priorities are out of whack. Our priorities are out of whack. What would happen? Listen, what would happen if the way we serve is the way we give? What would happen if everybody would just do what the Word of God tells us to do as it pertains to our giving? What would happen? You know, a few years ago, there was a statistic, a church in Singapore had the highest rate of tithers in their church in all the world. They had 97% of the people that called themselves members of that church were regular, weekly, monthly tithers. And it set a record all throughout. You know how big that church is now? That church is now over 40,000 people. And you know how they got there? Because everybody did their part. Listen now. There were no deadbeat believers who wouldn't support their own household. Just let that marinate right now, like some carne asada. Just let it get all over you right now. Just think about that. Because sometimes the only place that we go to and expect everything for free is the church. It's the only thing. And if it's, not only do we want it free, we want the best. Well, they better have this, and that music better be good, and that word better be good. And people come into a church not supporting the church, yet having complaints about the church. Do you know what that's like? That's like a deadbeat dad that has no job but complains about his wife. Oh, come on, somebody. I know I'm talking about your Theo. I'm talking about your cousin. You see it, but don't you be like that. That's like a deadbeat dad that doesn't do what he needs to do for his household, yet he's complaining about his kids. He's complaining about his wife. He's complaining about his family. We can't be like that. It's worse that you don't even find and serve Jesus than to come into the household and not do your part. This is what takes a church from being great to just a church. We can be a great house, or we could just be a house. And let me tell you something. The way I see people serving here, the way I see you guys laying down your lives, it can't just be for a house. The way I see Eddie get up every Sunday, get up here Wednesday, labor in prayer for this vision, he ain't doing that for an average house. He's doing that for a great house. The way I see the Sarahs lay down their life for the kids in this place, they work 40 hours a week, they have their own jobs, yet they're planning curriculum, yet they get here early. You think they're doing that for an average house? They're doing that for a great house. And my prayer is this, and this is what I want you to catch today, that you will commit to greatness and that you will just do your part. That's it. God's not asking very much of you. All he's asking is that you do your part. Are you tracking with me today? I'm almost done. Let me just throw a couple more scriptures on you right here. Let's look at Haggai chapter 1, 3, and 9. It says this, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your nice paneled houses and his temple lies in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put in a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Trip out on that. You know what that brings to mind? I remember when I first got saved and I was going after the Lord and I would sit in church and I would look around and I would say, God, there are good people here that are still broke as a joke. There are good people in the church that never get ahead. There were deacons in the church. There was this sister over here doing that. There was this all the while never getting ahead in life. And a lot of Christians live there. They're doing the right things. They're sowing, but they're not reaping the biggest harvest that they can. They're doing things. They're bringing in. They're eating, but they're never full. They're drinking, but it's never enough. Some of us in this house I just described to you. You do just enough, but you never get ahead. What I feel like the Spirit of God is saying to you this morning is this. Consider your ways. How do we change this? Look back at the word right here. Man, the word is our answer. Look what he says here. So consider your ways. He says this. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, build the temple. Tell your neighbor, build the temple. Go up to the mountain, which is the presence of God. It's the presence of God. Get in the presence of God. And bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, it blew away. Woo! How many of that of us has that happened to? Why, says the Lord of hosts? Here it is. Because my house that is in ruins, because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to your own house. Here's what God is saying. You want to change that kind of outcome? Put your house behind his house. Or let me say it like this. Link, connect your house to his house. Or let's say it like Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things, all your needs, he will meet. Jesus said it. It's a promise, but I dare you to believe it. I dare you this morning to walk out of these doors and saying, from this day forward, I will no longer let the house of God be secondary to me, but I'll put it first. That's all he's saying. That's all he's saying. I'll put it first. I will link my vision with what God wants to do. I will link my business. I will link my giftings. I will link my desires to being consumed with building the temple. And what God is saying here is all those things where you never have enough, you bring in, but it never stays, it blows away, you get a raise, and 2 weeks later, you still ain't got enough money. Listen, God says that'll stop. That'll stop. Are you tracking with me today? It lines up. Matthew 6:33, as I said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Listen, this is what we're doing. You guys got to understand this. And it shouldn't scare you. Oh, well, you're asking a lot, Pastor. How can I do that? I have all these needs. He gives you a promise, but here's the thing that people are going to be shocked about when you face the white throne judgment, Christians. When you face judgment, we're still got to go through the white throne one day. And God is going to ask, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do? What did you do with the gifts, the time, the money? Did you build my kingdom? And you say, oh, but it's a lot to do. No, you're missing the point. You got to remember one thing. And if the only thing you remember today is this, God is a rewarder. He's a rewarder. You know what that means? That whenever you do something for God, he will always do something for you. What you sow is what you're going to reap. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, 11, 6 on the screen. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and here it is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. What needs to happen in our lives is that the longer we serve God, the better things get. The longer I serve God, the better I get. Now, that's a strong statement, because the first thing that comes to our mind is two things. Number one, that's not true for me. I can't really honestly say that's happened for me. Or number two, well, I know a lot of Christians that's not true for. And so do I. This is what makes Haggai's scripture so important. Because the recipe to turn that around is to build God's temple. Build God's temple. And you say, well, I know a lot of people that are doing that. Maybe. But did you know it takes more than just time and serving to build God's temple? You know what else it takes? Money. And we don't like to hear that word in church. I know we don't, because there's been a lot of knuckleheads that have done a lot of bad things with money and all that kind of stuff, but we can't get away from it. You have to trust the Lord that if you connect your vision, your time, your gifts, and your money to the temple of God, that God will make sure that there is a reward. Are you tracking with me today? Look at Matthew 25, 37 through 40. He says this, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, as much as you did to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You know what Jesus is going to say after this weekend to some of you guys? Hey, Mike, thanks for coaching me. Mike's going to say, when did I coach you, Jesus? When you coached them Goonies that week, you coached me. Because them fellas needed somebody positive in their life. Jesus is going to say somebody, hey, that spaghetti was good Friday night. You're going to say, when did I make you spaghetti, Jesus? When you made it for those kids in the community. Jesus is going to say to the referees, I still love you. Hardest job out there, y'all. Hardest job out there. Because you can never get it right. I don't care who you, somebody said, we need to pay referee. It still wouldn't be right. Hard job. But Jesus is going to say, thank you for reffing my games. When did I do that? When you was out there in the 100-degree, 105-degree heat. Are you tracking with me? Everything we do for others, God counts it as us doing it for them. So I've got two questions for you today. What are you really doing for others? Some of you, that question, I hope it just wakes you up. Because you're on this, well, I'm a good person kick. We're all good people. Jesus makes us good through the blood of Jesus. So get over yourself. It has nothing to do with you. It's about Christ in us that makes us good. But look what the Bible says. Let me show you this last scripture. Eddie, come on up here so they can get excited. They're hungry. Let me show you this last scripture and I'll let you go. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. It says this, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. See, Christians, man, we get so full of ourselves sometimes. This is what the world hates about us. Because we get saved and then we want to look down on everybody else that don't have Jesus. Listen, we don't get down like that here. This ain't that house. This ain't for you. This ain't that kind of house. Because we're a great house. And in a great house, we understand there's nothing special about us except Christ in us. The only reason that I could be a helping hand to somebody else is because Jesus was a helping hand to me. We're saved by grace. It's not because we're special, but because we simply believe through faith, is what Ephesians says here. It's not because of you. And this, look at this. It's a gift from God, not of your works, lest anybody should boast. But listen to this part. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Here it is. For good works. 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 You better get some good works. You better give your life to good works. You better find a place to do good. And your place is here in the house. Don't be worse than an unbeliever for not providing for the household of God. Don't take it lightly. See, because in Haggai, what he was talking about, people that were doing the right things, but their order wasn't right. Their heart wasn't for the temple. And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. That's where your heart is. You know, in translation 2017, where your money is, that's where your heart is. It's not enough for me to just do good works. I've got to yoke myself to the temple, to the house of God, through my giving, through my serving. And when I do that, the Bible says, God will be my rewarder. He'll be my rewarder. The Bible says that don't be deceived. Everything I sow, I'm going to reap. Jesus said, give and it will come back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. There is no greater cause than the church of Jesus Christ. There's no greater cause. There's some great causes out there too, but the cause of Jesus Christ and the cause of building a great house is important. Ushers, if you go ahead and stand right now, I don't want you to pass out envelopes, but I don't want you to just move and do your deal like you normally do. Just take an envelope, but just hold to it for a moment, because you've been experiencing the fruit of this house. You've been seeing this is that. But some of you have not yet connected yourself to just doing what the Bible says. And you could sit up here and go, oh, here's another preacher asking for money if you want to, but my fruit speaks. The fruit of this house speaks. If I was a money-hungry preacher, and I've said this before, I'm in the wrong place. I shouldn't be building a church in South Sac. Come on, somebody. If I'm a money-hungry preacher, I should be up in Rockland getting some of them folks money. I should be out in Wilton planting a church there if I was about money. You don't come to South Sacramento if you're money-hungry. You come here if you love people. You come here if you want to see lives changed. The light shines brightest in darkness. So please, if that's where your head is at, don't give in this offering. Don't give. Don't even give in this. But if you're hearing what the Word of God is saying this morning, before you give, I want you to contemplate something. And I want you to, I'm mainly speaking to the members of this house, okay? So if you're not a member here, you do what you want. But if you're a member of this house, I don't want to see what Haggai was talking about begin to keep taking place in your life, where you're always bringing in, but it's never enough. You get a raise and it blows away like the wind. No, I want to see things unfold in your life. As the house grows, you grow. Everything you do for God, He does for you. I want us to live this principle of elevate life. What does that mean? Every year we go higher. Check it. Every year my marriage will get better. Every year my family gets stronger. Every year my finances go up. Every year I do more for them. That's elevating. That's lifting. But Jesus says there's one requirement. You got to build the temple. You got to build the house. And if you're visiting us from another church, go there and build that house. If you're visiting us and you have a church that you go to, listen, connect yourself there. Build that thing. Now, if everybody's got your envelopes, before you fill that out or make anything here, I want you to look up here. Let me have your eyeballs for a moment, because this isn't just a normal offering. What I'm asking you to do is make a commitment in your heart for our members. I'm asking you, members that are here, to commit in your heart that you are going to finish this year out strong being a tithing member of this house. Let's get rid of the excuses. Let's get rid of, well, you know, it's tough. Well, it's this, it's that, I'm going through. Listen, you know what's beautiful about the Bible and about Jesus' teaching? He never puts an amount on anything. He just gives a percent, whatever your percentage is, whatever you're making. He says you give part of that. The Bible tells us in Malachi, give the tithe, 10%. You see what we're doing with it here. You see where we're going. Listen, and those of you that are going on missions trips, listen, you gotta switch your priority. A missions trip ain't a vacation. And it's also not for you to go on Instagram and post how awesome you are because you're serving other people. It's not that. It's an extension of what you do at home. Are you tracking with me today? And if you're not doing anything at home, listen, this is not a word to condemn you. It's a word to help you. Your Christian walk is never going to get strong until you begin to serve other people. Your Christian walk is never going to get strong unless you make the building of God's house a priority. And the moment you do, I hope you wrote these scriptures down. And the moment you do, you will see what God said to Haggai begin to come into your life. No longer will your blessings fly away with no record of them. You'll begin to see God build your life. I want to pray for you before you prepare to give today. Father, I just thank you for these awesome people. Lord, they're generous, but there are still many of us that aren't doing our part. This is not a word to condemn them, but a word to help them. And a word to let them know, Lord, they have a place in your kingdom. And that place is loving you with all of their heart. And Jesus, you said where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. is. It's about us giving you our heart through committing to the house of God to give and to keep giving and to stay faithful in giving. And the other part of that is serving. Serving this house and serving the people in the community, Lord God. It's what being it's the only thing you said that could measure our Christianity and our love for you. And so I pray right now, Lord, that you would speak to your people and that you would help them rearrange their priorities today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now go ahead and prepare to give. And as you're giving, don't forget, fill out those envelopes. The envelopes help us have a good record of what comes in so that we can be accountable with our accountants and different things so that we can't get funny with the money. Amen. Because you know, I know just like you. Hold on, ushers, give them time to prepare. Give them time to prepare. Just hold the buckets for a minute. I'll tell you when to release them, but not yet. Listen, if you're giving, make sure you keep those records. That helps us keep everything above board so that we can have accountability purposes. But also, as you may know, we started a new giving system. Could you put the text to give slide up there real quick? This is real easy, but it's not only is it easy, it helps again for our accountant to see everything that comes in, what it was for, who gave it, so that every dollar can be accounted for. I think that's an awesome thing. Amen? And so that you can have peace and you can know that you're giving to a church that has accountability, that has records, that everything is showed up at our end of the year meetings and stuff like that. We could see where the money went and that kind of thing helps. So if you want to begin to give this way, all you got to do is go on your cell phone, text ELCSAC to 77977. And a little link will come up on your phone. It'll sign you up. Once you're signed up, anytime you want to give, you won't have to do that. And for some of us that are making a commitment to make the house of God a priority for you and your family, there's a part on there that says you can do that weekly or monthly as a repetitive gift so that you can commit that I'm just going to do my part for God because of what he's done in my life. So if you want to use that, that is there for you still. And you can also go, we have our new website that is debuting this month. It's the same address that it's always been, elevatelifechurch.com. And you can click on the donation button there on the church app, which our new church app, what is that again, Jesse? Elevate Life SAC. We have a brand new church app. The other one's going to be going offline this week. We upgraded all our systems so that you can be informed and stuff like that. So if you're preparing to give, listen, and this is the thing. I get up every week and I say, man, we're a blessed people. But what I'm beginning to realize is this. We're blessed, but for where we're going and for how we want to affect this community, we need everybody to stay committed and just do your part. And if we all just do our part, we never become that church that has to have a preacher up here crying because he's got to pay the bills. See, that's not a great church. If a preacher's got to get up every week and beg for money, that's not a great church. A great church is when people understand the responsibility that they have to the house of God and to the vision that God has given, and then they give. Amen? Praise God. Ushers, go right ahead and receive that this morning. And as they're receiving that, if we could go ahead and roll our announcements, we've got some really cool things coming up in the next few weeks.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. We're a church that loves God and lifts others. We're so glad you're worshiping with us today. If this is your first time, please fill out the information card so we can stay connected. Here's what's going on at ELC. Basketball League was a huge success. We just want to take a moment to thank everybody for their hard work and their involvement in making this event possible. We truly couldn't have done it without you. Check out this quick recap. We'll be right back. Just a reminder, we have our DR missions team getting ready to leave on July 9th. We know that it's going to be a great time, and we want to cover them while they're out there. So let's make sure we're praying for the DR missions team. Make sure you follow us on social media to keep up with all that's going on at ELC. And as always, please put your phones on silent and limit disruptions during service as we get ready for the Word of God.
And we already have the Word of God, so praise God. Real quick, stand on your feet. I just want to encourage you in a couple other things. Listen, we're taking a big portion of our church workers. I mean, these people here, they serve every Sunday. And we're going to be gone next week. And so what I need from the rest of the house, I need y'all to hold the house down. Amen? It's not a time to miss service while we're gone. Oh, pastor's gone. You know, no, that's when we need you most is when I'm not here. So make sure that everything runs smoothly with all these workers that are going to be out. Y'all be here. Y'all hold the house down. I ain't leaving you with nothing. Pastor Cheeto's got a word in his spirit. He's been on fire preaching in the prisons. Y'all ain't even ready. He's been a madman in those chaplains. He's preaching to dudes that are locked up. So I don't know what he's going to do up here. You know, I don't know what he might just go off on y'all, you know, take off his shirt or something, get a tattoo during service. I don't know. I can't be held responsible. He's been in the pen for a few weeks now. Preaching. So if you don't want to miss it, it's going to be awesome time. Him and Pastor Norman will be here holding it down. But we need the body. We need the body to be the body. I've been in churches where, oh, pastor's out of town. Let's go camping. No, we need you here. We need you making sure that visitors are coming in, still feeling welcome, still feeling a part. Amen. Can y'all do that for pastor? Amen. Thank you. One other thing, couple other things. One Sisterhood, mark your calendars. July 28th, it's a Friday night. It is 80s night for the ladies. The ladies of the 80s, okay? Yeah. Y'all control yourselves, right? Let's not get too crazy, okay? But it's going to be a lot of fun. They're dressing up and stuff. They're going to have a bunch of 80s jams playing for you. Where are my old Hair Bears at? Any old Hair Bears in the house? Y'all remember the Hair Bears? The girls used to put the Aquanet hairspray and put the bangs all up like that. Ah, we used to call them Hair Bears in high school. Bring the Hair Bears out. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. Also, real briefly, the One Sisterhood team, if you're a part of that, is going to meet right up here at the front right after service. And also, listen, the missions team is going to be, we leave tonight, so keep us in your prayers. We'll be missing next Sunday. But after that, the team is going to come back and share their testimonies, and you're going to get to hear some incredible things. But my wife and I and our family is getting to stay an extra week. The only way we were able to put our vacation and missions together is by combining it. So keep us in your prayers. We want to get refreshed for a week while we're away. And so we're going to be gone for a couple weeks. But you guys keep bearing fruit. Amen. In a great house, it's not about the pastor. It's about y'all. This is your house. Before you leave, tell three people it's my house on your way out. Amen. God bless you guys. We will see you in a couple weeks. The rest of the team, Pastor Cheeto, will be here this week. Amen. God bless you.